Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. All this week, a series of focus groups took place to collect experiences from people who face poverty, or are caregivers, or are volunteers, or are Indigenous from across Northumberland. It is all part of a two-year study being done for the United Way called Our Community Matters. It will be the basis for its next strategic plan as the organization looks to better serve the county. The study is being done by Loyalist College's Center for Healthy Communities. A final report is expected in June. In this interview, you will hear Northumberland United Way Executive Director Alicia Van Dyne unpack the process and what her organization hopes to learn from these focus groups and this study. Take a listen and hear some of the issues and trends, plus the expectations for this significant study. I'm so pleased to welcome back Northumberland United Way Executive Director Alicia Van Dyne. Good to see you again, Alicia.
Thank you, Robert. Nice to see you too.
Most people think of the United Way as an agency that collects money and redistributes it to nonprofits to provide financial support for their activities. Why is the United Way currently out in the county holding a series of focus groups called Our Community Matters?
So that is all very true. We are, our number one focus is being, of course, a funder and community. But one of the reasons that we are doing these focus groups as part of our Community Matters report is that it's so important for us to know where to invest those dollars. And part of these focus groups and research project that we're undertaking is really helping us to think about where we should be funding dollars over the next 3 to 5 years, really helping to identify some of those community priorities that matter to Northumberland County.
What's the genesis of this then, this idea of community matters? I mean, you've always had to decide what groups are going to get what money and make those decisions. Why take this approach?
You know, I think it's really more of, for us, really taking a really data-informed decision forward. We really want to think about making sure that we are stewarding dollars appropriately. It's really, I think, a reflection of the complexity of issues that have come to the forefront that we've been seeing. And so really having a good and whole idea and understanding of these issues so that we can make good decisions moving forward.
So these focus groups are involving three organizations. There's yourselves, the United Way. There's the Center for Healthy Communities, and there's Loyalist College. Now, there are all kinds of social service providers in the county. Why these partners?
So it isn't just those two partners. We have been gathering information for the last 2 years in relation to all of our community partners. And so what we're asking the Loyalist College's Center for Healthy Communities to do is pull together all of the research that we've been gathering. And so the focus groups are the last portion of this. And so we've been gathering information from local partners, local not-for-profit organizations. We've been, of course, finding anything that is published locally or provincially that can show us trends. But what is really important to United Way is always having lived experience. Lived experience is the rounding out of that empirical data. And as part of United Way, we're always thinking about what is the human face and the human voice in the issues. Does that make sense to you, Robert?
Well, it's a good transition to my next question, which is who's involved in these focus groups? Who are the people that you're talking to?
So currently we have five different focus groups. One of them is people that are experiencing financial hardship and lived experience within poverty. We have a group that is for caregivers, caregivers with perhaps aging parents or that have children that require special need. We're meeting with some volunteer organizations and volunteer-led organizations to find out what their thoughts are on the decline of volunteerism, because without volunteers, they may disappear. And so that's been a trend that has been identified. We're also meeting with youth to find out what are some of the priorities for youth in Northumberland County. Do they align with the data from experts and organizations? Do they have other ideas on their own? And I'm also proud to report that we are including an Indigenous circle as well, meeting with folks that are in Alderville First Nations and residents of Alderville, but also the Indigenous communities that are spread throughout Northumberland County to really get a really great assessment on their voice and how they're seeing the future as well for Northumberland.
The term poverty can have so many meanings and so many ways to define it. How are you defining poverty in this instance? And can you give us some examples so that people can understand just the kinds of people that you're talking to?
Yes, I think of it really in specifically two different areas. Food insecurity is definitely an area that we consider to be under our poverty to possibility pillar. But we're also thinking about affordable housing and homelessness, and what does that mean in Northumberland County? We've seen that visible homelessness has certainly increased in some of our municipalities, but we're also thinking about what does hidden homelessness look like as well? People that are couch surfing or living rough in vehicles. What does that look like in our rural communities? And so, in terms of our poverty to possibility pillar, those are three of the areas that United Ways as a movement have had a lot of concern and, of course, been working towards programs to help alleviate that. But I think that what we're learning is that those particular issues within poverty are coming to the forefront more and more and will be over the next 3 to 5 years.
You mentioned you're talking to organizations that are volunteer driven. Can you give us some examples of the people you're talking to or the organizations at least you're talking to?
Yes, we're trying to be equitable and make sure that we represent each municipality. We're looking at small grassroots organizations that have no paid staff whatsoever. They are run completely by volunteers, but we're also matching that with people, organizations that are a little bit larger and have maybe a volunteer coordinator that have a staff member. And so we're trying to capture all of the levels of volunteer organizations from those neighborhood grassroots all the way to volunteer coordinators with professional staff.
So when you hold a focus group, about how many people are you getting together to talk to?
It's in the neighborhood of 8 to 10 people. We wanted to make sure that we had enough spaces to represent multiple voices. And so it's our way of making sure that we're trying to capture a good diverse group, depending on age, too, as well. We wanted to make sure that we balance those voices.
Did you select the individuals that participated, or was this sort of an open call? How did you select the people?
It was an open call. We put out that through, of course, our media friends and our social media. But it is actually the decisions are made by the Center for Healthy Communities. I don't receive the information of the folks. They base their selections on, that diversity that I mentioned to you.
So how is this valid then? I mean, when you're doing just such a small group and it's being selected, it seems like you're not going to get a let everybody say have their say kind of thing. It seems very, very direct and maybe possibly limiting as well. How does it make it valid to have such a small group and yet it's going to be meaningful to you and what you want to decide on?
So just to remind you, this is part of a larger 2-year project. And so we've gotten multiple voices before. And so as part of our Community Matters strategy, we did an open call to the public. It was on our website and in various municipalities, libraries, and different areas where people gather, where a significant amount of surveys were taken by the public at large. And so all of that information has been included within that report. The purpose of these focus groups is really to capture more lived experience. It's not about, we're going to say that this many people in percentage of the municipality are experiencing homelessness. We want to hear what does homelessness look like for you? What does it mean for you? And so it's really the qualitative part of the quantitative that we have been receiving.
You've mentioned a number of the areas that you're focusing on, food insecurity, affordable housing, but what about issues like access to addiction services or mental health services? I didn't hear you mention those. What about issues like that seem to be up there and very prevalent in the community?
Absolutely. And so just to back it up so that you have a more fulsome understanding of what Community Matters report looks like for us. So we have taken each one of the social determinants of health and placed them under the pillars of United Way, the three pillars, the first one being poverty to possibility, one being kids can be all they can be, and the third is, of course, building strong communities. And so mental health would certainly fill under or fall under the pillar of building a strong community. And so part of the questions that are being asked, of course, are some of those mental health issues within the focus groups. And so are caregivers facing any particular mental health issues? Are youth experiencing any of those mental health issues? And so we've placed each one of those social determinants of health, and we've done the research on these. The focus groups are really meant to round out all of that information, taking various questions from those social determinants of health.
I'm sure there's listeners out there saying, well, wait a minute, Alicia. Statistics Canada, for example, estimates 18% of households in Northumberland face poverty, and this was from a report in 2024. 11% face food insecurity. Food bank usage has nearly doubled. I reported that in November on this show. What more do you need to act on an issue like that? Why is it not that simple?
I think that because there's so many sources of information, sometimes people get very lost on where to go to get the information. And so one of the things that as a goal of this project is to make sure that there's one central place to gather a significant amount of information. We're looking for it to be a true snapshot of the needs within Northumberland. And this report is not just for United Way. It will be made public. We will have it on our website. And having experienced projects like this in the past, we want it to be a tool as well for other organizations to utilize to strengthen any of their grant opportunities or their project ideas. We want to be able to give them one central place to be able to find information on the needs of Northumberland.
Have you received any interim reports from Loyalist College about what they're finding or anything to give you any indications of how it's progressing and some of the results?
Yes, we did receive an interim report just with some high level things that they're noticing. And one of the things that certainly we are thinking about at United Way over and above some of the poverty related issues, but I think one that maybe your listeners might be quite curious about is the decline of volunteerism and how that potentially could impact the social services world in particular, because if we're not seeing people volunteer, what does that mean for an organization that depends on volunteerism? Could this become a future gap? And so one of those trends is just something that we know as and we've seen. You know, there are certain, as you mentioned, there probably are a lot more larger scale reports on that. But what does that mean to Northumberland County? How many organizations are completely dependent on volunteers? What does that mean? And so one of the trends that they did alert us to was the decline of volunteerism that the previous reports were talking about as a challenge.
And you see this as being surprising because I was going to say I've done interviews before, and I, very often when you talk to nonprofits, they're looking for volunteers. They need people to help, and younger people especially. Is this reflective of what you're seeing in this early report?
Yeah, I think that they noted it quite early in the report. And I think for us, because we hear it, you know, we're always like your listeners, we're seeing, of course, the ads looking for potential volunteers. But I think when you have another organization that is separate from it, and they do see that they're able to pull together the research with that, you know, that quant the quantitative, but also really able to capture that story. It just, I think it brings it to the forefront even more.
Well, even if you identify this, again, we'll go back to what we were talking about at the beginning about what's your mandate and what you're trying to do. And often you give money to help keep organizations going. How does knowing something like a decline in volunteers, what could the United Way contribute to that issue?
And I think that that's what will lead into our new strategic plan. And so knowing all of these trends that are happening in Northumberland, it not only helps to inform how we fund moving forward, but it's also about our strategic plan and what United Way can do better or more of in community. And so when I think about volunteerism for in particular, perhaps United Way could become a centralized place where there could be a matching of volunteer opportunities for volunteer or for people that are looking for volunteer opportunity. And I just say that off the cuff, that's not necessarily what we would be doing. But just as an example, would there be a need for United Way to help provide a little bit of infrastructure in terms of how could we promote volunteerism more? Because for us, it's not just about funding organizations, it's also about helping other organizations succeed as well. And so just knowing some of the trends that they are facing helps us to gear our operations to be better partners in community.
As you were talking, it made me think of when I go to the arena to walk around the Cobra Community Center. You see all kinds of parents involved in hockey and sport. It seems like lots and lots of parents are involved. Did you get those kinds of organizations, sports organizations, say more, some of the less familiar ones? I mean, we all know the Lions, we know the Rotary Clubs. What about the smaller groups that may not be front and center as we often think about it?
So in terms of the how they selected those focus groups in terms of that, what they took a look at, they did their own little bit of research on what the organizations and who the organizations were, and they tried to balance it across sectors. And so we have some folks who are working in within the arts community. We have someone who's working within the sports community. We're also trying to, you know, balance that with some of the organizations that are specific for needs. So there could be one that is health related. There could be one that, you know, is perhaps related to, and I just throw this out as an example, maybe environmental as well. And so we're trying to capture the most diverse with size And so that's where the challenges can be. And because a lot of the organizations had an opportunity to participate in our initial surveys that were part of the first year, we were able to also capture some of that diversity across of how, if they're part of a hockey team, are they part of a civics group, are they part of a service club? And so, those voices are represented for certain. And so, really, it's just a way now for us to hone in on some of the things that have come out of those surveys.
When you get this final report, the results could be very transforming for the United Way. In other words, this could be a paradigmatic shift for the organization and its mandate. And because it's been so long in the community, people will often associate things with a certain aspect of the community. How do you translate this report into how it's going to impact your organization and then go out into the community and have impact on others?
That's a great question, Robert. And so we've sort of been thinking about that here as well. The Community Matters Report will really be an essential element towards our new strategic plan that will help direct the operations of United Way over the next 3 to 5 years. And so I think about some of the roles that people don't necessarily know that United Way has had a part of in the future. We are a funder, that is, our primary function, but we're also a convener. We're also an advocacy group. We're also an organization that delivers programming when there's gaps. And so in us learning and identifying these gaps, it will really help us to decide fundamentally what areas we should be focusing on. And so perhaps the report will come back and say, we need United Way to convene more. We need the United Way to help us with advocacy. Perhaps we need the United Way to be more present in funding and fundraising and being that funding organization. And so I'm hopeful that when this report is done, it will really help our board of directors think about the next 3 to 5 years and what the activities of the organization should be.
Have any of the groups and organizations that you've engaged during this process come back to you and said, we're anxious to see what this report's like, or, make sure we get a copy of the report? I know they will get it, but is there an anticipation building up about the significance of this report and its application across the county and other organizations?
Yes, I think that a lot of our organizations have expressed how excited they are to have this very comprehensive report. And they're very excited to have it being drafted by the Center for Healthy Communities through Loyalist College, because I think that it gives it so much status that we have, someone who is a professional researcher who is putting this together for us. And I think that it gives, from a United Way perspective, it just gives us this really amazing report that was written by a third party so that we, as United Way, we're not influencing it in any way. And so it's really a true snapshot of Northumberland County.
There are a lot of consultants out there that do this kind of work. How did you come about to choose Loyalist College and this Center for Community?
That's a great question. And so I learned a little bit about Loyalist College's program through an event that I actually attended in Hastings, Ontario. They were doing an initial assessment of food systems and food systems that existed in Northumberland County. And just like every great partnership, it starts with conversation. And so, learning a little bit about the work that they have been doing, not only in Northumberland County, but also in our neighboring municipalities of Quinte West. They've been working, of course, with our United Way in Quinte West as well to think about what does community safety and well-being look like. And so, We knew that they had experience working with a United Way organization, and just based on the work that they were doing for their other organizations, we knew this would be a great fit.
How's this being paid for?
And so we're very fortunate that Loyalist College has donated this work to the United Way. And so we're pretty honored to be in this amazing partnership with them. They felt it was such an important project for Northumberland County that they're donating those services to us.
If someone is just learning about this and they want to participate or they want to get their 2 cents in, can they still do that? And how would they do that?
I would say it's never too late. We always are trying to gather more and more information. What I would suggest, if they do want to have a voice, contact the United Way office. They can make that by phone, or they can email through our website if that's how they choose to reach out to us, and we can direct them to our researcher to be able to provide just that connection.
Alicia Van Dyne, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
My pleasure always, Robert.
That was Northumberland United Way Executive Director Alicia Van Dyne.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast, or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.